On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Well, hello, hello. A little bit of a late jump into there. We getting settled in here. It's George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday. Remember to tune in live, but if you miss the show, you can go to ksro.com where you're going to find past shows, great guests. There we go. We're going live on Facebook, too. What's up? KSRO. Boom. Hey, we're joined by legislative advocate Christopher Carlisle. He is really an exciting guest for me today because we've got November's ballots coming up here, of course. Just register to vote if you haven't already and get out there to talk about Proposition 5. Christopher, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. I'm really excited to have you because, you know, I've never spoken to a legislative advocate, and one from CAR, which is, of course, the California Association of Realtors, is great because this show really does focus on the things that impact the mortgage markets, the real estate markets, home ownership in general. And I wanted to get our listeners a really opportunity to hear from you what Proposition 5 is. Talk about it from an advocacy perspective because you helped draft the first version of it, as you mentioned to me. So, but before we get into that, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, as you mentioned, I'm a legislative advocate for the California Association of Realtors. I've been there for over a dozen years, and prior to that, I worked for members of the legislature for about two decades.
Okay. And so you've been doing this a long time, but you mentioned this was one of the first times you've worked on a proposition in drafting it. Tell our listeners about the process that one goes through as an organization or as an advocate of an organization to put propositions on the ballot, to make sure they pass the muster of the Attorney General, of course, so that they can be put on the ballot. Tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, for us, it started about 2.5 years ago. We formed a task force of about a dozen realtor members to come up with ideas for how to address this. Because you can slice it and dice it a lot of different ways. But ultimately, we ended up submitting three different versions to the Attorney General for preparation of title and summary. And what that means is that they, the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, spends about 50 days doing a fiscal analysis, and then that's what you're going to see summarized on the petition, and then the Attorney General spends 15 days doing a very brief summary. That also is on the petition.
So, you know, a lot of these issues are, of course, partisan in base, the Attorney General is an elected position, isn't it?
Very much so.
So do you find any sort of bias there when you're working on the language for a proposition?
Well, the current Attorney General wasn't very kind to us with regard to the description of the measure.
Yeah.
It talks about certain property owners instead of saying just homeowners. It talks about a replacement property instead of saying a replacement home.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot clearer, and it's unfortunate. I think it does a disservice to the voters of California.
Okay, well, let's clear it up. Tell us about Proposition 5. What is it?
Well, as you know, we have a housing crisis here in California, and that's due almost entirely to the fact that we're just not building enough units.
Sure. And in fact, housing starts are still low.
Very much so. And this doesn't directly increase the number of homes that are being built. What it does do is it uses the homes that have been built more efficiently.
Okay.
And what I'm speaking about are the empty nesters, those folks that are living in a 2,000 or 3,000 bedroom home, a 3,000 foot home. Their kids have moved out, and now they're living there by themselves.
So we call those move down buyers. Essentially, they're taking up a larger home now. They don't need as much space. They move down into something smaller, or they move to a different area, right?
That's right.
Maybe they move to an area that's more conducive, like single-level housing, maybe closer to medical facilities, closer to family. So these folks are always moving, but when they move, they face some tax liability that they may not be able to afford.
Yeah, we refer to that as the moving penalty. And one of the great things about Prop 13 is that you know exactly what your property taxes are going to be when you buy. And if your home increases in market value over the years, your taxes don't increase. But if you move to a new home, you basically you end up back at the end of the line.
You start up a new assessed tax rate.
Exactly so.
So could you summarize what Prop 13 is for those folks that may not remember back when it was passed in 1978?
Sure. It what Prop 13 does is it limits your property taxes to 1% of the assessed value. And the assessed value, the market value, your purchase price is assumed to be the assessed value. Mm-hmm. So let's do an easy one.
Sure.
You purchase for $100,000, mm-hmm. 1% of that is $1,000. And so that's what your property tax in that first year is gonna be.
Yep.
Now Prop 13 allows that assessment to increase by 2% a year.
Yep.
And so over time your property taxes can go up, but not by much.
Right. And we're talking about the basis, the tax basis for the state. Of course, every county has its own add-ons, local school district add-ons, fire district add-ons, road assessments. So that gets added on top. But the 2%, effectively, to use your example, by year two, you could be paying taxes at $102,000. By year four, at $104,100 or whatever it is, right? So it goes up at 2% increments a year. That's a 1% limit for the first, not limit, 1% calculation for the first year, and then it's 2% cap on increases.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's Prop 13. That's passed. Now, there's going to be efforts to repeal that from now and forever because the state gets worried about losing tax revenue.
Very much so. And the legislative analyst has tagged us with in the first year, $100 million loss in property taxes. Now, it's important to put this in perspective.
Yes.
Because you talk about $100 million or $1 billion. That's a lot of money. Okay. $60 billion a year is raised annually in property taxes. So a loss of $100 million is 1/600 of that.
And I think it's important to understand that this stimulates property sales as well. And property sales generates local tax revenue for most cities and counties because of the transfer tax.
That's right.
Okay. So there is fiscal impact, negative to the state potentially, but positive to the local municipalities because it could foster more sales transactions.
Well, certainly. As you know, when you are preparing your home for a sale or you've just bought it, you're going to purchase furniture, you're going to purchase carpets, you're going to purchase paint. All of that generates local sales tax. And in addition, you've got the work people that are doing the painting, that are doing the plumbing, what have you. And that generates income tax for the state.
Yes. So Proposition 5 is what we're talking about here. We're joined by Christopher Carlisle, legislative advocate for the California Association of Realtors. So Christopher, there's a lot of people and organizations that are against this. I don't understand why. What do you think the reason is?
They really are focusing on the money because nobody really has an objection to seniors moving to anywhere in the state if they need to downsize, as you mentioned, or somebody that's severely disabled. They don't really have an argument with that. It's really about the money. And so what we did is we hired the Berkeley Research Group, which is made up of former LAO director Dr. Bill Hamm and former director of finance Senator Tom Campbell. Mm-hmm. And they did a full, complete economic analysis. Mm-hmm. And in their estimation, it's a wash.
So there's a couple other propositions that already exist. We have Prop 60 and we have Prop 90. Talk to us about what Prop 5 does that's different than those two propositions.
Okay. Under Prop 60, a senior homeowner or somebody that's disabled can move their property tax base within a county. Mm-hmm. Under Prop 90, you can go from one county to another county if the other county has voted to participate in the program.
Yeah.
Only 10 counties are currently doing that of the 58 counties.
So an example, a live example of that is someone in Sonoma County says, hey, I'm ready to move to, say, Marin. Does Marin, do you know if they participate in Prop 90?
They do not.
Okay. So if they were to move to Marin, they have to essentially give up their original Prop 13 benefit tax basis and start over at their sales price of what they buy in Marin.
That is exactly so.
So folks, think about that for a second. If you have loved ones that have, or yourself have lived in a property for say 15 years, 20 years, and it's time to downsize, it's time to move closer to other family members in another county, and you've benefited from the protections of Proposition 13 from overpaying on your taxes. When you move to a county right now that doesn't participate, and most counties don't, there's about 50 some odd counties in the state, I think, right?
58.
Thank you. I knew the legislative advocate would know that answer. And so 50 of them, it sounds like, 48 to 50 of them, don't right now under Prop 90 participate.
That's exactly so.
So you lose your Prop 13 tax basis, and you're going into retirement where you're going to be earning less income, not more income. And I know people, they'll see double tax bills. They'll see their tax bills double. So instead of being able to move, they won't.
Exactly right.
They'll stay where they are.
That's
because
right.
They can't afford to have a $6,200 bill tax here. A bill each year for their taxes when they're used to $2,500.
Yeah. We have a research and economics department in Los Angeles, and they have determined that almost 75% of senior homeowners have not moved since the year 2000. Half of them have been in their homes for 25 years.
And that's going to grow. We have baby boomers, you know, now entering into their 70s, and they have to move. There's plenty of instances of people that, frankly, can't live any longer in the house they're in. I have a client, she's been suffering from cancer, and she can no longer go up and down her stairs. And she's going to move into another property when she can figure out how to do that. I'm trying to help her. This type of proposition helps people in those situations. I can't understand why people would be against it. It's because they misunderstand.
I think it's because they're only focusing on the money, and they have an incomplete understanding of how revenues operate. They're focusing on property tax and ignoring property tax revenue and ignoring sales tax and income tax revenue.
Well, I think we're going to try and clear more of that up. Folks, we're going to go to a commercial break with Christopher Carlisle. He's the CAR advocate, legislative advocate that helped author the Proposition 5, helped get it through to the ballot. We'll be right back. Stick around.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Hey, folks. This is George Adair from Bay Equity Home Loans. We're your local lender, but I want you to know we have cutting-edge technology available to you. I'm really excited to announce our Bay Equity Express closing. You don't have to go search the internet to find your home loan lender. We're right here in Santa Rosa, Petaluma, and Windsor. Bay Equity Home Loans offers many loan programs with amazing technology. At closing, you can digitally sign your loan documents. It saves time, saves frustration, and we get to the closing process so much faster. If you're buying in Sonoma County, the speed to close is one of the most important factors in getting your offer accepted. The reputation of Bay Equity locally is amongst the best. Visit us at bayequityloans.com or call 707-583-8100. Again, 707-583-8100. Bay Equity is your home for loans.
Equal housing lender subject to credit approval. NMLS ID 76988. The transaction will be made pursuant to the Department of Business Oversight California Finance Lender Law and our California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. NMLS ID 245370.
Of all the reasons you had for starting your business, marketing and advertising may not have been on the list. But in order to get the best performance from your business, you've got to have a plan to attract and keep customers, especially now. To help, KSRO is hosting a one-hour master marketing class, free of charge, for business owners and managers, November 6th through 8th. National marketing and small business consultant Kevin O'Brien is back to lead these fast-paced workshops. He'll share specific ways to help you market more effectively, how to get the best results from traditional, digital, and social media, and help you avoid common marketing errors. You'll walk out with some great ideas you can use right away. The one-hour master marketing classes are held throughout the day, Tuesday through Thursday, November 6th, 7th, and 8th, at the Grayton Resort and Casino Ballroom in Rohnert Park. You'll have a chance to win a $5,000 ad program. For details, go to sonomamediagroup.com/masterclass. sonomamediagroup.com/masterclass.
On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5, KSRO.
Hey, we're back again with Christopher Carlisle. He is the CAR legislative advocate, and we are broadcasting live on Facebook here. So hopefully you folks are going to get to see us as soon as Facebook decides to cooperate. Christopher Carlisle is, again, the CAR legislative advocate, and I wanted to give our listeners a little bit more background on the process of getting a proposition on a ballot. You know, really, like, how long does this take? I think you said it took 2.5 years, right, to get this to really be something that could get to our November 7th ballot.
That's right. Formed a task force a couple years ago, and they looked at the issue and then decided how they wanted to move forward. I've already described to you how the Attorney General and LAO process, as
right.
soon as you get the title and summary back from the Attorney General, you then have 6 months in which to collect signatures.
Okay. And how many signatures did you need?
We needed, because it's a constitutional amendment, I want to say 585,000, if
wow.
memory serves. But you need to do about 1 million.
Wow.
Because you get a lot of Charlie Browns and Mickey Mouse's signatures.
You do, right? So they get audited, those signatures.
Yeah. Well, we had a software program that we ran them through.
Uh-huh.
And so we were able to we knew, we had a fair certainty that when we delivered our signatures that we were going to qualify.
And what groups are supporting this?
Well, you've got Caltex, Howard Jarvis, you know, all the usual suspects that you would expect.
Sure. And I know that, it looks like the Bakersfield Californian, the Orange County Register, the San Diego Union Tribune, they're all on record for supporting Prop 5 as well.
That's right.
So let's talk again a little bit more, just for those of us that are just catching up to the show. Proposition 5, in summary, gives people the ability to take their original tax basis, which was protected and guaranteed through Prop 13, with them from county to county.
That's right. And they would be able to do it as many times as they want,
uh-huh.
you know, because you can do it at 55, but, you know, people are living to 75, 95. And it's pretty fair to say that your life circumstances at 75 or 95 are very different than they were at 55.
They are. And so Proposition 90 already exists to enable people to transfer between counties. However, it also had a provision. First off, it was optional. Not every county had to participate. And I think we said earlier that, 8 to 10? What was
about
it?
10 counties.
About 10 counties are doing it right now. So folks that wanted to move from Sonoma County to Marin could not keep their tax bases.
That's right.
Now they'd be under Proposition 5 passing, they would be able to keep their tax bases if they buy at the same level or lower.
Or higher.
Okay.
Under Prop 5.
So let's talk about that math.
Okay. Under Prop 60 and Prop 90, the replacement home can't be any more expensive than the home you've just sold.
Uh-huh.
So let's go back to our original example. You buy at 100, you sell at 500,000. The replacement home has to be 500,000 or less.
Mm-hmm.
If it is $1 over, you can't do the transfer under Prop 60, Prop 90. Prop 5 will allow you to make that transfer.
That's a huge thing, folks, because people do move from one area to another. Right? I think you were talking about low-cost living to high-cost living. They may choose to live in the high-cost living area because it's closer to medical facility resources that they need, could be closer to family members, could just be time to get out of town and try a new place.
Yeah. But if, you know, let's say you have a five-bedroom home, you raised half a dozen kids out in Alpine County, you'd be pretty hard-pressed if you sold that home to buy a 1,500-square-foot condo in downtown San Jose to give, you know, daycare to your grandkids.
And I think you mentioned this earlier. People are at different stages of their life, at different years, of course. But there's folks that are retiring at 55. Let's talk about those people and how they benefit from this.
Well, so at 55, that's when you'd become eligible. And I think it's interesting to note that the firefighters are the union that are kind of leading the charge against Prop 5. And yet the average age of retirement for a firefighter is 55. And bless their hearts, if you've been running in through burning buildings for the last 3 decades, you get to retire at 55.
Yeah.
But I think this shows maybe a split between the union leadership and the union membership.
I think it also shows a need for education in those that are not supporting this. Folks, you got to look at this. This is actually pretty simple math. If you look at the activity of selling real estate and transactions, the cost of a transaction, both the county and the city make money. A lot of the firefighters, unless you're working for a state organization, a lot of firefighter funding comes from city and county taxes, and I get that there's a concern that there's not enough state tax revenue, that $100 million, I think you said, could be lost. But you're paid by your local municipality's treasury, not the state treasury. So if you're a firefighter, I don't understand why you'd be against this.
Well, they see the decline in property tax revenue as being a problem for them. Again, it's very minor.
But we're talking about state-level revenue. We're not talking about county and city revenue necessarily, are we?
Well, we are and we aren't.
Yeah, there's a mix there. There's a formula.
Right, yeah. Generally speaking, property tax revenues are used locally. Income tax goes to the state. And so that's what they're seeing most directly.
Yeah, I get – yeah. So, but the misunderstanding is that this is going to cut off funding for fire, and that's not going to happen.
Not at all.
Not at all. It's not going to even impact them.
It's very – as I said, it's 1/600th
right.
of their funding, and it isn't going to impact them that much. And for them to – and I've seen some of the commercials and newspaper ads where it's a threat to public safety. They should be ashamed of themselves.
That's ridiculous.
Frankly. Yeah. It really, really is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's something that's not going to happen. Let's face it. This is going to enable people to make good decisions about where they want to live next across the state.
Right. And, you probably heard the expression, there's no free lunch. Mm-hmm. So let's say it does cost something, but look at what we're getting in return.
Yeah.
We're getting those empty nest homes now go on the market. The LAO, by their own admission, that increased demand for smaller footprint housing. These folks, they don't want to do the yard work anymore. They don't want to be mowing the lawn.
It's higher density housing.
They want higher density housing. And the LAO, the Legislative Analyst Office, admits that this will spur that building of that housing.
Yeah. And, I've said this before on the show, like there's so many different ways to reach affordable housing. We don't just have to rely on government-sponsored programs for affordable housing, but maybe this sort of proposition helps us make housing more affordable because it doesn't double or triple someone's tax basis because they move from a county to another county. We don't just have to look at it and go, well, the cost of housing is the only way to lower the cost of housing. No, it's not, because there's an all-in cost to owning houses. And something like this really does ring to an overall benefit to people that need a way to keep their tax bills low, need a way to have a predictable budget for their housing, and not get slammed with a tax bill. How many people are surprised? I bet they sell their house. No one told them they were going to have to pay a new tax basis when they moved because they weren't aware of what the limitations of Prop 90. I bet that's something that we have to look at.
I think a lot of people, I have an impound account, an escrow account.
Yeah.
And so I see my bill, but I don't write the check. And I think that does a disservice to me and a lot of homeowners.
Yeah.
You mentioned all the other exactions, all the parcel taxes and all that. If you looked at your property tax bill, you'd be very surprised to see all the things that you're paying there.
That go to public safety and schools and roads, because that's all added on to that 1%.
Right. Let me mention one thing, and I'll use my block on which I live. There are no children living on my block.
Okay.
It's a bunch of old people.
It's quieter.
It is quieter. Less interesting at Halloween.
Yeah, I bet.
But, if some of those empty nesters were to move out and now you've got new families moving in, that increases your school funding because you're probably familiar with ADA,
Average
Daily Attendance.
Yes.
Well, if your local area is declining in terms of the number of kids going to school, that negatively impact schools.
Wow.
You free up these homes, let younger families move in. That's going to increase funding for your schools.
That's a really interesting argument. So folks, when you get into a neighborhood that's starting to age, there's a normal cycle that's happening here. And I mentioned this earlier at the top of the show, which is people that are getting into their senior golden years, maybe their knees are a little sore, their back's a little sore, maybe they have serious health issues, they can't climb up and down stairs, and they certainly are interested in mowing their lawns and hedging trimming their hedges and doing everything else that goes on with big property management. But you know who is the younger families.
Exactly so.
You got the younger families willing to come in and get a property that's got more room and is in a school district that uses that funding. That's a good point. There's so much more to this, folks. We're just joined by Christopher Carlisle. He's the CAR legislative advocate. And I noticed here that you're, you went to Stanford University and also San Jose State. And you have your JD from McGeorge School of Law. Wow. So you've got the credentials. How long have you been doing legislative advocacy for Carr?
about a dozen years. Uh-huh. I was one of those lucky ones. My undergraduate major was political science. I knew exactly what I wanted to do in college.
Yeah.
And so that it made life a lot easier.
I did too, and then I switched it.
Oh.
Where'd you switch from? I started with a history teacher, and I started wanting to be a history teacher. And my grandfather said, "You know, you're not going to make a lot of money there." I said, "Yeah, but I'm going to do good things." He said, "Yeah, but you're not going to make a lot of money. You can teach while not being a history teacher." And I said, "Okay." So I switched over to business, and that cost me an extra year. So, you know that, and you know, I was in San Diego. It's hard to graduate in 4 years in San Diego. So I get it.
Looks like it was a good move for you then.
I did okay, I think. And you know, I look at these examples and how they affect my personal life. And you know, we're all about to cut a big tax bill. Either your lender is on your behalf if you have an impound account, or if you don't have an impound account, you're cutting your own tax bill. A lot of people just went through a major adjustment too with Prop 13. Was they had a temporary adjustment from the Great Recession, and then their taxes went right back to where they started with very little time to actually make that catch up. And so this is the kind of thing that's really, I think, affected people's pocketbooks in a major way is property taxes. And here, as we are always advocating for home ownership, you have to look at the whole picture, and what your property tax rate is going to impact how much you can afford. So folks, if you're a homeowner and you want to be able to move from one county to another, or if you're a homeowner, I'm sorry, if you have family that are homeowners, maybe older family members that want to move closer to you or away from you because you're annoying, they're going to pay a lot of money without Prop 5 if they move to 48 of the counties in the state.
Yeah. I want to mention one other thing. Besides the disabled, it also helps folks that have lost their home due to a natural disaster that's declared by the governor.
Right.
You've had a lot of fires here in the Santa Rosa area. Yep. Unless those other counties vote to accept folks that want to move to them, it ain't going to happen.
That's a good point.
Prop 5 would allow, again, senior homeowners, the disabled, and people who have been burned out of their homes to move anywhere in the state.
That's a huge issue affecting us. Well, again, thank you, Christopher Carlisle, CAR's legislative advocate. Appreciate you joining us. And hey, I'm yes on 5, folks. No on 10, yes on 5. Remember that. Get out to the ballots and vote. We got to go. This show will be live on KSRO.com if you want to check out a podcast. Until then, we'll be back next Wednesday. Thanks so much for joining us. See ya.